You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are now listening to the Ride or Cry podcast.
Nielsen.
What is your social security
number? What's up, guys? Welcome to the Ride or Cry podcast. This is our first episode in the new office. We're here today with Buddy Nielsen from Census Fail.
What's up?
We got the weird part out of the way where you come in and we don't have things ready.
Yeah.
And then we don't say anything. So we save everything for the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah, I felt awkward like sitting here and not saying anything, but I don't like to
waste it.
Yeah,
the first few podcasts we did, we would just have these like ongoing conversations, and then we would get on the podcast and just be like, so what'd you eat today?
Yeah. it was actually because we did like a radio thing for like a while. We did like an Adobe radio thing. So it was, mm-hmm. we would go in, they would do it, they'd put it out. And then we started doing like our own thing. And we were like, how are we going to format this? How is this going to be a thing? And it's really now what we do is whenever anybody's like really in town or when they come by, it's like not like a scheduled thing that we do like weekly now. Mm-hmm. So it's cool because you live here.
No.
What?
No, I moved.
The fuck?
Yeah. Aaliyah left.
Where do you live now?
I live in Flagstaff.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I moved. I had a kid and bought a house. And
fucking told you guys.
Got out of L.A.
Yeah.
That's
great.
I like
L.A. I just can't live here. It's too expensive.
It's really, really, really expensive.
Yeah.
It's also just overwhelming living here.
Yeah, it is. Kind of. I mean, I like both. I like being in the middle of nowhere, and then I like being in the city, too. So.
Well, I mean, if you're... The cool thing about living in a place like Flagstaff is I lived in Tucson for mm-hmm. the majority of my life.
Yeah.
And then coming here was a way... It's, you know, it's your desert and then fucking city.
Yeah.
And Flagstaff is cool because it's like, it is its own little city.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like close enough to here that you can just like pop by.
Somewhat. Yeah. It's I mean, it's kind of a... It's really a small town. It's not... There's not a ton of stuff going on there.
It's close to Prescott.
Yeah, it is pretty close to Prescott, and it's about 2 hours from Phoenix, and it's cool. I like living there. I don't know if I like... I mean, I look at it as, like, I kind of split my time between L.A., Flagstaff, and New York, so I kind of, like, bounce around all the time, and then I'm touring, so I kind of... I just can't afford to, like, buy anything
here,
Nobody or New York or anywhere, so it's like, if I wanted to buy anything anywhere, it had to be somewhere significantly... outside of a major city.
So like when you were process of buying a house, did you just was flags were you like
yeah it's kind of like a guess yeah. I mean like it was kind of like a I mean I just don't know what you're supposed to do. I mean, I don't know what people are supposed to do now. Like, I mean, in Europe they don't really buy houses, you know. People live in cities and they live in London, they're not buying a house. They're not, you know, you live in Berlin, you're not buying an apartment, it's too expensive. So people rent their whole life, which it's like a one way to do it. I mean, you don't have to own a house to like do your life right, but it's sort of one of those things like, you kind of want to like...
Dude, it's like the next step when you have like...
Yeah.
Married.
Yeah.
Have a kid.
Yeah.
Buy a house,
you know.
And then the next thing is retire.
Or retire, or you want at least something, you know, to... retreat to if all else fails, kind of type thing.
Yeah. I mean, last time I saw you, your wife was pregnant.
Yeah.
So, dad now.
Yeah.
How's that feel?
Total dad. I like it. It's been very life-changing, obviously. I mean, everyone says that. It's just a matter of how it changes your life. Depends on who you are and like...
How old is the... So loud. Oh, my God. How old is the kid now?
She's like three? Eight months.
8 months?
Yeah.
Three? Oh, wow.
You
just
three?
You're just guessing shit.
Well, I was guessing because I thought that his wife was pregnant at emo night like 3 years ago when Buddy first came through.
No. No, she was pregnant pretty recently, obviously. So, yeah, 8 months.
How long are you here for? How long are you in LA for?
I'm leaving on Wednesday.
You're like just cruising in here?
Yeah.
Doing the thing?
Yep.
And then cruising back?
Yeah. That's kind of pretty much. I got to grab some gear for our tour, so I'm going to empty out our storage space.
How's that fucking happen? How's that, like, because this is the first time, new album?
Yeah. New record?
Anything you want to talk about it? Because, like, I did, like, we know a bunch about you, but, like, we always do, like, the skimming, the, like, the brief skimming.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck, this is the first time in a while.
Yeah. Now, 3 years. Yeah. We had a record come out in 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a new one coming out February 16th. And
what's it called?
It's called If There Is Light, It Will Find You.
Is it like something that you're planning on? Like, have you been writing these things for songs for a minute now?
About a year. But it sounds like you could literally play it at emo night and no one would know if it came out now or 2005.
I mean, we listened to a single, who produced it?
Bo from Seosin.
Yeah. And I think that, like, that was... What else did he do?
He's done, obviously, Seosin Records. Yeah. He's done Moose Blood. He's done... he did the Old Bled Records, Name Taken. He's done a lot of stuff recently.
I remember this Name Taken album.
He's done a lot of various projects.
So it's got... He has that specific sound. Like, he was locked in on that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's very familiar with...
Totally.
...that era of music.
And I mean, we listen to a song, and it's just, like, you have the breakdowns that are just, like, right.
Yeah, it sounds... I mean, it sounds very similar to, like, old Senseless Fail. Like.
Is that just the stuff that you've always written?
No. Our last two records were really heavy. They sound like, sort of like a Converge Coliseum. They're very like a little more Deftones-y. They're a real departure from what we had been writing, and then we just decided to kind of like go back to our roots. And
is there a reason for that?
I think it just seems like the right time. I mean, I just think this kind of music is still... There's a moment there where it kind of faded for a little bit, but I think it's come back stronger. So you have a lot of not only younger generation people, you know, 19, 18-year-olds kind of like discovering music they weren't around for. So you have a little bit of that, but then you also have the people who are, you know, my age who still enjoy this type of music and are sort of right at a different time in their life where they're having kids and they're buying homes and they're looking for sort of... they're looking, you know, to what they used to put some of their faith into, or listening to music for people my age and this type of music was, or this type of genre is like a very cathartic, very like important experience.
Yeah,
so people still want that.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, they still want that.
Never went away. Like, yeah, you know that lull. That
but there was,
about.
I mean, there's,
it was
there's.
EDM lull.
Well, I mean, it's just 2008 through I'd say 2015. You know, I think that there was a lot of. I look at it as when there's a president who is more socially acceptable, this type of music, and in general, like punk music or any sort of underground genre isn't very popular or meaningful because there's really like nothing to push back against. Right. Like it's kind of hard for punk bands. Well, I mean, you could still be obviously upset at a lot of the things Obama did as far as militarism and things of that nature. But it was harder for people as a whole to generally get behind like a negative message towards Obama,
right.
Unless you were like pretty right wing and maybe into like country music or something. But there wasn't much for this to bite into. I mean, for Senseless Fail and for emo music or whatever third wave emo you want to call it, it was directly successful post 9/11.
Right.
Post 9/11 George Bush era. So once George Bush went away, it sort of felt like you have a rise to like management and you have a rise to like some like I call it cocaine music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
EDM, or like just like indie whole, pop indie pop like have a good time, hang out, like life's good. Yeah, go listen to some like you know, chill music to do drugs to and have fun. It was, I look at it as like a disco-esque era, like post World
War. Disco era is like a good way to
post-Vietnam. Totally. Nobody really wanted to listen to protest songs. Sure. I mean, why would you? You just spent the last, you know, however 10, 15 years dealing with, you know, the assassination of JFK and then Vietnam, and then you had all the rise of, I mean, you know, that
it's
movement.
Go like this forever.
Right? Oh yeah, like, oh, it goes up and down. I mean, it's just always like, yeah.
I think after like, I started realizing that when that this type of, it's not that just this type of music is back. It never went away for us, obviously, but like now there are bands coming out now that sound like bands that I would have listened to.
Yeah.
You know, 15 years ago.
Yeah, and I think it's similar. Like I said, similar to what you know happened post. You know, you had a room, a generation of younger people looking for like music that represented the culture and of the country, and you see it now even like with the rise of like Cardi B wouldn't have been popular had Obama been president. I think like her becoming popular is almost like a direct sort of result of like Trump and that sort of rise, because you just because I don't think people would have been so willing to give someone like Cardi B a platform, you know, like, and when I mean someone, I mean directly like an African American woman who is like loud and, you know, has like a voice. I think that would have been pushed down and been like, we don't need that. Like, we have a black president, we're good. You know, I think like generally white America would probably be like, yeah, you know, we're good. But now it's like sort of an undeniable sort of like, we need those voices type thing. And like through either obvious like conscious effort or just sheer will of people just being like, I want to hear.
It's really nice
from an
to
aggressive
see. It's actually,
black woman, which is really cool, which is awesome. And I don't think that she would be able to make this sort of meteoric rise as she did in the last year if you didn't really have. And they're not necessarily like conscious of each other. Sure. It's not like people are like, well,
it's not this because of
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
It's just like the whole, it's the vibe of the nation and the vibe. Of
I mean, I don't know if like trap music would be as popular right now if we had, you know, if we had a female president, or if Clinton had, well, I don't know, maybe it would be some other
that
thing.
That is interesting to think about how like music would have changed, like what the differences in music would
have
been.
Well, people don't want to listen to party music when they feel like their civil liberties are being taken away. So, even though like trap music and what Cardi B is saying, I don't think she's like has a political message, but her, by definition, she is somewhat political. Just because of who she is and the color of her skin is to most people, like most like Trump supporters, you would find her threatening.
Right.
You know, a lot.
So how do you think the general like political climate affected like new Census Fail music?
Oh, I mean, one of our songs is overtly political and culturally relevant, and then, you know, I have songs.
Which the first single is about buying a house.
Yeah. I mean, so, I definitely did, you know, wrote about things in a way knowing that people are going to be looking inward, not outward, and not necessarily wholly interested in, they're going to be questioning the nature of their own reality, whatever that is, you know. So I kind of thought that it might be important to package that with old Census Fail sounding
music. I
totally
fucking think it's important, or else, you know what I mean? Like, what are you supposed to just ignore it?
I think if you have, you know, when someone looks back on this time and they go, well, what did you do? You know, you want to have like a list of things you did, mm-hmm. or you're going to look somewhat of like a, I don't know, maybe you didn't, not that everybody has to pick up like a pitchfork and go, you know.
Well, I mean, you're doing it in your own way.
Yeah.
You know how to do it.
Exactly.
You fucking make albums and you tour. And, mm-hmm. and it's like, I think that that's really important. And I think that, who are you going on tour with?
We're bringing Reggie and the Full Effect.
Which
I love. And this band called Have Mercy, who's really good.
Which we love.
And then this young up-and-coming band, they're called Households.
We made Brian from Have Mercy play the first song off of their first album.
Mm-hmm.
That
he
was like, we can't play that acoustic, and I was like, no, you definitely can, and you're going to.
Yeah.
And like, so we flew them, like, I think they came out for the first like emo night
anniversary
like whatever mm-hmm. it was, And we gave them this platform where we were like, we just wanted to hear that song.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the stuff that we do is because we're like, we want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know? Totally. But those, let me tell you, dude, that I don't drink anymore. But like there was a point where there's that first Have Mercy album was all I was listening to. I was drinking. And I was like flying on a plane. I was bawling. I was like fucking just crying on a plane. To a strain, and I remember exactly like what part of what song it was, and I think, which is really interesting because I haven't felt that way since like let's say 4 Minute Mile came out. You know what I mean? Like since like I first was driving around listening to the first song off of, like Coming Clean off of that Get Up Girls album, I was like, oh shit, this is where it is. And I think that there's a lot of bands out now that really, really, really fucking good. New Modern Baseball, sick. Joyce Manor, sick.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking
Sorority Noise.
Yeah. Sick. I used to manage that band.
Dude. Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Front Bottoms.
The new album I thought was
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
And I know they got a lot of backlash out of it because it sounds like too produced.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought every song on it was fucking great.
Yeah, I mean, they're from New Jersey, actually, from like the town over from where I grew up.
Yeah, you should check it.
Yeah, like, I mean, I haven't listened to the new record yet.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, see, I wasn't like a humongous fan of the first one, and this one made me a fan of the first one. And I'm more along the lines of like, I don't like stuff produced, but I think these songs were so well written that.
Also, at a Front Bottom show, I wonder if this ever happened at one of your shows, but a guy came up and proposed to his girlfriend, but she said no. But has that ever happened? Because I'm sure.
It's We haven't really always let people do that. Mm-hmm. I don't.
It's not like you're not.
I don't know. I mean, we're gonna actually do it on this upcoming tour. There's somebody that really wants to do it, but it's like I don't know. No one in the crowd wants to see that. Like that's always been my thing. It's like I don't care.
Right.
But like, I'm you know if you want to do, but it's like you know people came to see the show. They're like
right.
They're like, do you really want to? You know what I mean? It's,
I don't know, but I think that is. I get where you're, I'm good at this. I'm good at seeing both sides.
Yeah, I mean, I can see both. I totally get like people could be really rejoiced and really like that, and that's really awesome. But then again, people are really,
yeah, dude. But guess what? That's how it is about everything.
Yeah,
dude. Like everybody's like, you know, it's like, let's say like I feel very strongly about. What's something I feel very strongly about that everybody likes Sopranos though. Like what is something that somebody doesn't like, you know? But it's the same thing. It's like I can see.
Yeah. So we usually just like because we're not potentially you're bumming out a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Who paid to see you play? If you say no, you're only bumming out one person.
Yeah.
I feel like if someone's super bummed out by seeing two people stoked.
Never really like I know people because it's just like then you got to deal with like you know like how do you get the person backstage and
you mean logistics?
Yeah, this guy's like hitting me up and like he's like hey man so like can we talk and before I'm like dude that, there's like nothing to figure out you're just gonna like it's not a whole thing I know you think that like the show is like this whole thing mysterious thing which you do because you don't really know like you know, all we do is show up and put this stuff on stage and then we sit on the bus and then we walk on stage and that's literally it. Like, there's not, like, a whole thing. But, like, he's like, hey, can I have your number? Can we talk? I'm like, dude, like...
Yeah, like, we don't need check and then you're like, oh, man.
We don't need to figure it out. Like, there's nothing to figure out. Like, trust me.
You just
come up on stage and you say the thing and then you know, you get off and like, that's it.
Dude, I'm happy to, you can forward him to me. I'm more than happy.
I mean, so we're going to try it. We're going to try it.
It's very simple.
We're going to try it and see what happens. Oh, I don't want this.
Can't spoil it.
Yeah. People ask all the time. Like they ask like literally like three or four, like a tour. Usually.
We had someone ask recently about doing it at Emo Night in Baltimore and he was like, can you just like, you know, do it during one song? We're like, sure, what song? He's like, a brand new song. We're like, oh,
you know, we had somebody
can't do that on
election night in Denver. We had somebody do it that like on, and it was like one of those like pivotal moments in my life where I was like, oh shit, like, this is really beautiful. And then everybody looks at the TV and they're like, this is really scary. And then they look back at this and they're like, oh, this is so nice.
Yeah.
You know, it was like one of those weird.
Yeah.
But it kind of goes back to what Buddy was saying earlier, you know, just like people that night were like so willing to just like get involved in the music and the party. And like,
yeah.
It was like one of the most powerful emotional emo nights.
Yeah. Like we do emo night because we like this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not, there's like no other reason. There's literally like, we're like, we wanted to go to a party that we wanted to go to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's it. Like,
yeah.
And now we just get to like kind of do that, and
yeah.
it's fun, and it's fun for the people that go, and like that's all we want to do is like make fun for people. Mm-hmm. Like that's what our main goal is to like introduce. And now emo night actually gives us a platform to like show new kids older stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
or show old kids
new stuff.
True, exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, you know.
Like, where there's no, like.
I've been playing. I've done, I do various DJing stuff now. I mean, whatever. But it's like, I'll play new stuff. And, like, people are, you know, generally, yeah. like, interested yeah, in genuinely. Newer stuff. If it's if totally. It fits in the vibe of, like, the genre.
It's right. harder to DJ it. But, like, you know, we have now gotten to a point, like, we added the echo. So we have the echo where we can put live bands and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do like DJ sets and then we switch it and have a fucking new young band come play a show at the echo. And it's like, if they just did a club show on their own, they wouldn't draw, you know?
Yeah.
But we get to like put them in front of everybody. We get to spotlight them on our social media. And like, mm-hmm. it's turned a really cool corner where it's like not a nostalgia thing so mm-hmm. much as like a place where everybody's like gathered again and like paying attention.
Yeah.
You know, you ever play those like you ever grow up and like play like these community centers?
Oh yeah. Yeah, we played one out here with Rufio one time.
Yeah. It reminds me like
2003.
All the emo nights that we throw like have that community mm-hmm. like and that, cuz keep in mind like I grew up playing in bands my entire life, and like we'd play community centers and mm-hmm. like fucking, you know, city to city. It's always got like some weird pizza place attached to it, and then like, you know, and then it's like sometimes it's a church, you know what I mean, and mm-hmm. it's like that vibe maintained throughout the years, and it's like a really really cool thing to like be like, oh yeah, this shit's it exists, it's not going away. And then I've seen way more house party shows lately
mm-hmm.
than
there's still always going on. It just depends on the genre.
Yeah, it's just fucking cool, dude. I missed seeing bands play in like living rooms because mm-hmm. now it's like you have all these kids that can just make music on their computers,
yeah,
literally in 10 minutes, and then go to a club and plug it in and play it. So it's like really cool to like live music is on the up and up.
I think so.
we know so.
Mm-hmm.
Is the thing. Like, we know, so, like, Spotify users are growing up and
listen to Jason Allen Butler's new stuff, The Fever.
I checked it out. I haven't really listened to too much of it, though.
We went to a show the other night, and it was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
No, they were at.
They had a bunch of, like, crazy projections, like,
political. Where was it at?
It was, like, totally politically charged.
Was it The Region?
Oh, cool. Who'd they play with?
It was just them.
Oh, they just played at The Region?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
For an hour.
Yeah, it was fucking
so
sick.
Fucking cool. And then Travis Barker came out.
Yeah. Oh, I. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I heard about that. He's on the song. I know.
Yeah.
But that to me, like that show, like I don't know, and seeing how much work they put into making it like an experience. You know, they call every single show an event, and like they have projections and like uh-huh. these political, you know, almost like speeches in between. I was like, okay, fucking punk rock music is like. Alive, you know, mm-hmm. people are angry, like people are chanting like fuck Trump, and like there's such like a, I don't know, I've never like felt that at a show, like I haven't felt that in a while.
Yeah, people, the only time you ever feel that was like really emo, which is strange because like it's not one band, it's like
mm-hmm.
all of these, it's like a mix of things that and you know, it's weird to see it happens, but people fucking mosh to DJ shit. But
yes,
and, but you know what? Isn't that a weird thing? But here's the thing: then I go to a bunch of rap shows; they're moshing there. People just want an excuse to fucking push each other.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's interesting though that like this whole DJ thing. I don't know if these people go to shows. That's the other thing. That's the thing that's like questionable. Is like people are willing to come out to these sort of nostalgic nights, but then like the same band will play like a couple days later and you won't see those mm-hmm. people there, which is a really interesting sort of thing of like, are people that are interested in sort of going to party type DJ mm-hmm. events interested in live music? I mean, mm-hmm. some people are obviously, but like, what's the crossover to that?
Yeah, I don't know, because we go to like as much shit as we yeah. can. Like, we really do go to as much stuff as we can and support as much shit.
Yeah,
as
no,
we
no, can. But I'm so just wondering, like
I don't know, fucking from, beats me.
You know, yeah. do people?
I think a lot of people that you know come to emo night, I think go to a lot of shows. Like, we do a lot of ticket giveaways, and they mm-hmm. they're crazy. You know, like I think yeah. a lot of people engage with that.
Yeah,
and we see a lot of people out at shows that also come to emo night. So I don't know, but I don't know what the
I was just curious because I know I'm sure there's people that like. I mean, I've even heard people are like, "Why would I go see a live band when I can just go and hang out and listen to the music I want to listen to?" Yeah, which is, you know, it's just pretty, you know, it's just interesting to see people's concept of what, like, I don't know, what they want out of music.
When I went to go see bands live, I wanted them to not play exactly what I could just listen to. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's what I went to go see.
Yeah, of course, so, obviously.
Yeah, like, I mean, but you know what, though? I am in a band with somebody who is the opposite. He wants to go and yeah. see, and he wants to hear it exactly yeah. the way that it sounds
yeah, exactly.
on the album, whereas I, like, want it to be more humanizing, where mm-hmm. I want to be like, oh, they changed this here. The only time I've ever had that happen, ever, where I was like, this sounds exactly like the album, and this is the fucking greatest thing that's ever happened, was when Jimmy World did the Clarity
mm-hmm.
and Jim Atkins had that like weird loop thing at the end
yeah.
where like he did
the whole thing yeah,
and it sounded exactly like the album, and I was like, this is fucking fantastic.
Yeah that's cool. I mean, yeah, generally I think people, though, I don't know, I'd be curious to see, like, you know.
Yeah, I wonder how we can get the
the analytics yeah. of yeah. the fucking crossover.
I mean, I fucking, you know, anytime I go to a show, I see so much like emo night merch.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it really depends on the band too.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Like,
do you guys have an LA show on your tour?
No, we were just doing the Observatory.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's coming up.
Yeah, we're kind of as like just a.
That's great.
Southern California show.
When's that?
February 27th.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so great. Pretty soon.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be in that. I have to go to a memorial thing.
Oh, Jesus.
Saturday, right?
I don't know, yeah, actually, like, what day of the week.
Why would you know what day of the week it is?
I think I think it might be a Wednesday. It's kind of one of those weird things.
Check it out, because like, I like, literally think I bought my...
No, it's a Tuesday.
Then I will be in town. Maybe it was...
Road trip. Maybe that seems like a...
Is the 24th a Saturday?
The 24th is a Saturday.
That's the one. That's it. Then that's the one that I bought.
Yeah, the 24th is a Saturday.
Yeah, because that was like, fuck, I can't remember. Because I have to go back to Tucson.
Ah, bummer.
How you like fucking Arizona weather?
It's been, it's supposed to snow a lot in Flagstaff, yeah. and it hasn't. It's been really weird. It's
been a very... goddamn sunsets.
It's, yeah, I mean, that's beautiful. The weather's pretty awesome. I mean, it gets really cold, but yeah. it hasn't really snowed. It's supposed to snow. We're supposed to have like around 70 to 100 inches a year. I think we've maybe had 10.
Dude, people, this is the thing that people don't realize about the desert, because they yeah. think desert, they just think hot, but like fucking, it gets really, really, really hot and really fucking cold.
Yeah, it gets really cold. I mean, every night it's like 15 degrees.
Yeah, dude. Well,
and then we'll warm up to like sometimes 40s, 50s.
Hey, what'd you name your daughter?
Penelope.
Like the Pinback song.
No, not like the Pinback song. But that is a good... I know that I didn't name him after that song, but that is... I do like Pinback.
What'd you name her after? You just like
I think we just like the name.
It's a great name.
Yeah.
It's a really beautiful name.
I don't
name.
Think we had like a specific person in mind or anything that made us want to do it. I think we just like the name.
You just came up agreeing.
Yeah,
like,
we're just like, that's a nice name.
Yeah, okay. that
yeah.
was easy.
Yeah, it was actually pretty easy. It wasn't that complicated. We had some other names, but I don't know. That one just kind of worked. Felt right.
Yeah, fucking just 3 months?
8 months.
Eight months? Oh, TJ said 3 years.
3 years, 8 months. Eventually. Eventually she'll be 3 years.
When do they start talking? I don't know. I couldn't tell you if a fucking kid was like one or like seven.
They start talking maybe around a year and a half. I mean, they start saying some words around a year-ish, but they don't really start comprehending, like, conversation maybe until, like, two or more.
You know, if she her first or more. Word is dada, you win.
Yeah, but it's weird because they'll say dada, but they don't know what the relevance is.
You know, it's like one of those things my friend Sam just had to get. Like, his baby starts speaking, and he was like, dude, first words, dada. I was like, you fucking win.
Yeah.
Like, you win this thing.
Yeah.
Which is great.
I mean, I don't, whatever she wants to say.
I also heard that it's just easier to say dada.
I think it might be, I think it is. I think da, they also will be like the da.
Yeah.
Like, and people will mistake that for dad, but they're really just sort of like, that they want the thing, the thing.
Yeah.
Totally. And that's what they mean.
They were just like, give me the thing.
Are you staying, just their first words was like, may I please have this? Where are you staying?
In Silver Lake.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because are you staying with friends? Or did you just
I got a hotel.
You got a fucking hotel?
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't like staying in people's houses.
I also don't like staying
I fucking hate staying in people's houses.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's not even awkward. It's just, unless, like, I know what the deal is, like, I'm like, I mean,
hotel's fucking great. You can leave your shit on the floor.
Yeah, I don't like staying at people's houses. I always hated people.
I don't want to go to anybody else's house.
I don't really like going to people's houses either. I definitely don't like staying at people's houses. I used to hate doing that on tour. I hated it. Staying at people's houses sucked.
I know that there are some people that are. I mean, some people in bands that are like, I fucking love tour. I love
touring. Yeah, I love touring.
Yeah, you love touring? Yeah. That's like one of like...
Oh, yeah.
What do you love about it?
Playing shows. I mean, you know, I mean...
Are there any other aspects?
I like traveling. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like traveling, and I need to travel to just sort of be... feel like a human being. Mm-hmm. But I also like, I mean, playing. You know, I like playing shows.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't start a band to record music. You know, it wasn't like, oh, I want to be in a band so I can, like, record records. It was to play shows, you know? Mm-hmm. So, as most bands, actually, I don't know about that. Maybe. Maybe not anymore, most people, you know, started back then, you know, to play shows, and then eventually, you know, it was like kind of like a, oh, yeah, we record and do this stuff too. So, I think, Doran.
We never ask anybody this. What's your favorite band? We've never asked anybody.
My favorite band?
Yeah, we've like literally never asked anybody. And it seems to be like one of those things that you don't have to like do the right away or like, because here's the thing, I couldn't answer the question.
Yeah. Because
there's certain moods that I'm in. That I'm like, this is fucking better than the other. Like, I know the albums are great. These are 10 out of 10 ones. But like, I don't know. Couple of the favorite
ones. Yeah, my group of favorite bands are probably... I have favorite musicians that have multiple bands. So I would say David Bazan, who's in Pedro the Lion, and David Bazan. I would say Blake Schwarzenbach, who was in Jawbreaker, and Jess Brazil. And then
How bummed are you on that Jawbreaker shit?
I don't know. Like, I'm cool with it, but I'm not like, I don't need to rush out and see it. I'm just like, I've seen him play, and I've seen him play Jawbreaker songs, and then, you know, and like, it's super cool. I actually like Jets Brazil more than Jawbreaker. I thought they're a better band.
Yeah,
like, if
I
you
mean,
put
it's fair to you for you to say
you put the songwriting, if you put the songwriting together and the lyrics, I think. I mean, he was just older and a better musician, and I thought he wrote better songs as Jets Brazil. I mean, Jawbreaker obviously is classic, and you know, one of my favorite bands, obviously. But I'm not as like. I don't really get like hyped on reunion.
I'm hyped on that.
Yeah, well, I'm more excited about Pedro. I'm more excited about going and seeing Pedro the Lion, who's also touring again as a band. So actually, I'm like more excited about that than I am about seeing Jawbreaker, because I also just don't want to like, I don't want to be in a room with a bunch of people that like kind of like Jawbreaker.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be in, like, I've seen him play a bar with just him playing guitar out in Pomona.
Yeah,
and that was like more meaningful to me than just seeing him play
totally
just Jawbreaker songs.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fucking,
I know it's gonna be cool, it's gonna be awesome. I don't really have like a, 100%.
I never saw.
I'm trying to turn on a light in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking dark. Dude, we don't, like we said, this is our first day in the office.
We don't know.
We don't know how this is going to, like, we don't know, like, what it's going to look like. We don't even know.
I feel like that's probably better.
Than the overhead one? Yeah. Dude, this actually used to be, and kind of still is, sometimes the FYF office.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fucking weird and cool in its own, like, Los Angeles-y way. So
we're going to have to sage it, though.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff.
Those are my two favorite musicians. And then, man, I have, like, a lot of, like, meaningful records and musicians, but like as far as like lyrics that like shaped my life, I'd say those two guys.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
really big, like lyrically shaping. So I count that more as like Deftones are like one of my favorite bands.
I have to ask you this question. We kind of have to wrap it up like pretty soon, but let me ask you this. How do you think Deftones got away with all this shit? Because they were literally in that same vein as like all of the corny new metal.
Yeah.
But somehow everybody is like, they did not skip a beat. And they, do you think it's just their personalities? Do you think it's like the song they're writing? Do you think, what the fuck? Because it was like, how did they get away?
Mm-hmm.
And like Head PE got like lumped in like.
Yeah. I mean, they had always had ties to like a cooler music scene. I mean,
is that what it is?
Yeah, they always had like ties to this band called Far from Sacramento, and they always had ties to like other things, and he did cover Morrissey songs and Smith songs and Bjork songs, and you know, I don't know, they just always had this like, oh, they like
are also this
doing this, and then they changed their sound in the mid 2000s, kind of went for more of like a soundscapey kind of like heavy thing. I really like it too. So that's what I mean. They only did two records that really fall into the like
where they were like rap rock.
And also I think it matters that he was like, you know, it's a couple of guys from like California, you know, Mexican dudes. So it's like it was a little bit more like, oh yeah, like they can rap and not be like fucking lame.
Their live shows, but
it was like Chino's like a a front man, and he's, you know, when he was like rapping and doing it, it wasn't like
him trying to
be
something.
Yeah,
he was. Like, oh, yeah, that's just like kind of what the.
Yeah,
fuck
you are. I mean, that's just what I. That's how I always thought. I was like, oh, well, that guy's.
I always just wondered that because, like, I like the fucking weird thing is I like all the other bands too. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a fan of music in general.
Yeah.
So like, regardless of the time and like the genre or the era it was, I'm like, this was fine for the time. This was cool for the time.
Yeah.
And but that is the one band that has literally tested. Like they have lasted the test of time over every generation and like every fucking thing. Everybody's like, yes, the Deftones are like one of my favorites.
Yeah, definitely. So that, I mean, those three, I guess, are pretty high up there for me.
So I don't know when this podcast is going to come out. We can decide that with you if you
want. Yeah.
But we've been talking to your manager a little bit. You guys are putting together like a cool pop-up
event
for the album.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk a little bit about
that? Yeah, we're going to do a pop-up shop. It's in Highland Park. The release, day of release, February 16th, and we're going to have a couple of cool partners. We're going to have Donut Farm. They're doing a donut, and then we're going to have this brewery in Pasadena called Dr. Jekyll's. They're going to be given free alcohol.
Whoa.
And then we're going to be selling some exclusive merch for the release of the record only there, and then we're also be like selling and auctioning off the guy who did the Jonathan Wiener, the guy who did the artwork for the record. We're going to have some prints up and for sale, and going to have that go to charity. So yeah, it's just sort of like a little like, hey, where the record comes out, but because you can't really, you know, I'm like, nowadays, you don't, like, go to the record store on release day. Like, there's no, like, physical application to
release day,
which, like, used to be kind of an exciting thing.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, when you were younger, you're like, I'm going to the record store, and I'm going to pick up the record, and, you know, I'm going to have the thing. And, like, you know, you want to give – I think it's a cool way to give people an option to, like, do that if they want, you know. You know, to have people like be like, oh, I can go out and physically, obviously you'll be able to buy the record there, be able to meet the band, and then, you know, have a couple beers.
Did the thing with glass straw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just fucking cool.
Yeah, it's just like a cool, like, since there are no record stores anymore, you gotta like kind of like do a little thing where
It's like, I mean, it's times change.
Yeah,
like,
no, so things like, change.
To move with them is smart, yeah. And to like be like against it completely and then not embrace change,
yeah,
is to just not evolve as a person.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think people still want to show up physically and support bands. You just have to like, you know, give them reasons do so, and not just, you know, assume that people don't want to do it. They can't all go to the record store, and they don't, you know, going to Best Buy is not very much fun.
I think they're pulling Best all CS.
Oh, they are. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, luckily we actually shipped some, so you can buy the physical copy there for this record, but you know, for the future, probably not. I mean, and that makes sense. You know, why would you go buy a physical CD when it's like not like that doesn't really, you know, I'd rather have people come to the show, and that's for my thing. It's like it's for me, you know, listen to it, stream it, listen to it, you know, and then come to the show. It's like that's more of a way to, you know, when there was that phase there. I mean, like when things turned over, really.
Another good band.
No one was buying records, and there was no streaming, and the people were just illegally downloading stuff, and that was like kind of not a good situation for anyone.
Yeah, we've been talking about, because we have another job.
Yeah,
which is digital and creative agency, and we had a little tip that albums are back and people want to buy albums again and not as just
and stream singles. Albums again, because I don't know, I guess like that's the new objective, is to keep people streaming your band's music.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
so it's gonna be more about like long form albums rather than like purchasing singles.
I mean, which is very exciting. We'll see. I mean, I hope so. I mean, I always write records based upon you know, listening front to back. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I buy into that. I think people are still going to listen to playlist oriented music.
Yep.
Not your fans, but I'm talking about like
casual discoverers.
Yeah, casual discoverers are going to listen to, you know, that's always been the format. I mean, instead of single download or stream, people just would listen to comps. It's the same format, just a different or same idea, different format.
Totally.
You know, so it's like that has always been like somewhat present. It's like you have a song and a comp, and that pulls someone in to potentially become a fan, which is the same thing with like playlisting now, which gives it, I think right now everything is in like a much better place. I mean, like I said,
no, it's comfortable. Like it's for me right now. Well, keep in mind, I have worse like anxiety now than I've ever had in my life. But like at a place for music, I'm comfortable. I think it's gonna keep getting better, and like I think we're gonna keep seeing stuff and hearing shit that like is.
Now you got emo rap. Which is really funny. There's this guy.
Boy, do we.
No, there's this kid. There's this young kid from Dallas, and he's sampling like Senseless Fail songs. He's actually pretty good.
Lil Lotus.
Yeah, he's actually pretty good. Yeah.
We had him at our emo night, Dallas.
Yeah,
yeah. There, it's cool, dude.
I mean, I think that's cool. I mean, I like that hip hop is taking from, like punk culture, because I always saw similarities, and I think it's really interesting. Like Lil Uzi and just like, all I think it's really cool. And I mean, it's almost like in a way you feel like somewhat validated by.
What
you did by seeing it
alive again, in different cultures.
It's like just it's that whatever like that style of stuff, you know.
Yeah, nobody knows what that is called actually.
No,
like I like have no idea like what kind. It's like SoundCloud shit, but it's like not.
I literally just call it SoundCloud emo.
Yeah, but it's like some of it is, some of it isn't. It's like hard to put it in a genre. I think it's just like a bunch of kids that are like just putting together songs in their bedroom, and then they're finding each other through the internet, and like it is a, then they're like, oh, I guess one of these dudes looks this way, so we probably should look this way also.
Yeah, I mean,
it's really cool that there is no genre really.
It's it's no.
I mean, there's no name yet. I mean, people are gonna call it an emo rap. I think that's, but like Lil Uzi, I don't know, he or Lil Yachty. I mean, that stuff falls into trap, but those guys are like not singing about.
Soft, dude.
Yeah, they're not. They're, the little Yachty doesn't drink. He lives at his mom's house. He's sick.
Dude. He's like, and he's like super funny.
No, I love him. He's like great.
Innocent,
He's
not a dick.
It's like, he doesn't drink. Doesn't do drugs. Yeah. I mean, he's basically straight. He doesn't even know what straight edge is. It's weird. It's really interesting though that like this, that they're like adopting the live punk mentality.
The fucking they're
like they're jump their stage they diving and mosh, which is really cool. It's which makes sick. Me. Think that like there's some like I said there's some like not only relevancy but like there's parts of the things that happened in the early 2000s that like will influence people for years to come, you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. It's
and, and that's pretty cool. I think that's cool as like someone who's been around for
we'll wrap this up like right after that. We all have like so many, I know
wait everybody. I want to ask you about the mascot.
Oh, yeah. What about him?
Just what about him? I've only heard that there is a mascot.
There is a mascot. We don't have the
and
name for him.
He's apparently maybe coming emo man.
Yeah. He's, you know, he's around. Hanging out. He exists now. We, you know, he was a theory and a sketch, and now he's a live, breathing. Well, I think he's dead, but I don't know if it's a she. We don't know. It doesn't have a gender. It's a genderless skeleton.
This is exciting.
I'm really
excited.
I mean, skeletons don't really have a gender, right?
No, once
or
fucking,
sex.
Once
they're
just a bag of bones.
Yeah, once you're dead, you're, you know.
Once the penis falls off, who knows?
Yeah, we don't know. You don't know.
It goes into the dirt. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. So,
fucking who the fuck knows?
So the skeleton, it does exist in live form.
That's awesome. What are you doing? What are you doing tonight?
What am I going to do tonight? I don't know. I'm probably going to go eat at this restaurant called Song. It's like my favorite restaurant.
Yum. The Thai place?
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's fucking great.
Yeah, it's
dude.
Probably the best Thai food I've ever had. I mean, I've never been to Thailand, so obviously.
Amir said it's really?
Yeah. The Night Song?
Night Market Song.
Yeah, it's.
I love that place.
It's fucking great.
It's too spicy for me.
It's great. That's like.
Get out of here.
It's great. Dude,
bump
we.
It up.
I went. Yeah, I know. All right, fuck it, whatever. We'll talk about food after this. Anyway, buddy, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah,
it is good to see you. Congratulations on the child and the house and the
tour
and the album
and
everything else.
And the mascot. album February 16th.
Yeah, you were literally at like our first emo night.
Yeah, I was the first one before Mark Hoppus. That's my claim to fame. Before Mark Hoppus decided it was cool. And made it.
You were here.
Made it a thing.
And
I was
you,
there.
Like that.
Yeah.
Before. Yeah.
Honestly, we could probably.
Yeah. I was there before Mark Hoppus.
Yeah, that's fucking
wait,
great.
Wait, can we get your shirt like that?
Sure.
All right, great.
That's
anyway.
Really different.
Congratulations.
Thank you,
guys.
Good
to see you. We're excited.
Appreciate it.
All right, Doc.
You are now listening to the Ride or Cry podcast.
Bonjour, this is Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. I'm Andrew Pryor, and every week I bring you the wonderful and fabulous people involved in French food, whether they're here in France like me or from around the world. Enchanté. Each week, we dive into a specific topic, be it a French dish, an ingredient, or a French cuisine cooking technique. My guests are all about French food, so come join me on Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. Bon app.